Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God which engages us on this day is the lesson from Acts read previously. Dear friends in Christ, I bring you greetings from the Board for Pastoral Education of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I am grateful for this opportunity to be on your campus this day. You know, life has many situations that can be described as good news and bad news. For example, spring is coming. The days are getting warmer. They're getting more light. Soon the trees will be in bud and the flowers will be blooming. That's the good news. The bad news, soon the air will be infiltrated with pollen and many of us who are afflicted with allergies will be having runny eyes, sneezing, and coughing. The good news, the final exam for the class is a take-home exam. The bad news, it's 7 pages long. The good news, the food service is removing chicken fried steak from the menu. The bad news, they're replacing it with tofu tortellini. Life is filled with many situations that could be described as good news and bad news. Our text for today is one that could be described as both good news and bad news. It takes place on the first Christian Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has already made his miraculous manifestation of his presence in what looked like tongues of fire coming down on those who were gathered there. And they, though they were Galileans, were already proclaiming the praise and wonderful works of God in the many known languages of the day. In the more than 20 verses that are cut out of our text, Peter preaches a powerful sermon, convincing all who were there that this Jesus Christ was in fact the long-awaited promised Messiah of God, and that in fact God had raised him from the dead and he is alive. This Jesus God has made both Lord and Christ, Peter proclaims. That's the good news. The bad news? You killed him. This same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. In the same way that the house of Israel killed the prophets in the Old Testament, in the same way that they were always seeking a sign from heaven before they would believe in Jesus, in the same way that they accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Satan, in the same way that they were so very jealous of the following, the gathering that he was achieving around himself, in the same way that they dogged him day after day, trying to trap him in his teaching so that they could discredit him, in the same way that they trumped up charges, false charges, so that he could be arrested and put on trial, in the same way they insisted that he be crucified. This same Jesus whom you crucified, that's the bad news. And you can tell from the text that the result of Peter's sermon, they are cut to the heart. Luke records in Acts, it's as if a dagger was placed in the very midst of their chest, and they cry out in the terror of desperation, what should we do? For they have been found, they feel, opposing God, killing the very Son of God. But thanks be to God, he does not leave them with the bad news. Instead, the message comes from Peter, repent. Turn around 180 degrees from those who are opposing Christ to those who are following and trusting in Christ. from those who are crucifying Christ to those who are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From those who are trusting in their own righteousness to stand before God, to those who are trusting in the righteous one who has already gone to the cross and paid the price in full for their sin and for the sins of the whole world. No, God did not leave them with the bad news. Repent they did. Being baptized, they received the promise that was not only for them, but for their children and for all who are far off. Sins forgiven, washed and made clean, made new in the waters of holy baptism. And Luke records there that more than 3,000 souls were added at that time to those who were being saved. No, God would not leave them with the bad news. And neither has he left us with the bad news. Baptized into his name, we also have the forgiveness of sin, sins washed away, made clean, made pure in those baptismal waters. We too live by the promise, in fact, all of the promises that find their yes in his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. God has not left us with the bad news. But yet, there is still some bad news, is there not? For we still sin daily, as we are told in God's word, and so are in need of his forgiveness daily. Think about today, as young as the day is. Have all of your thoughts been those that you would like to present before your Father in heaven? Have all of your words, maybe even concerning your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, been words you would be happy to utter before the face of the Father? Have you truly this day, thus far, loved your neighbor in every instance as yourself? Or have you perhaps began to think about how you might manipulate your neighbor in order to advance beyond your neighbor? That's some bad news. Some bad news that we carry around each and every day of our lives. But like the people in our text, God does not leave us with the bad news. Like the people in the text, he invites us to repent. Like the people in the text, he invites us to return to our baptism, to those promises that were made sure through water and word in our lives. Daily, by daily contrition and repentance, as Luther says, the old Adam may drown and die, and daily a new man arise and live before him in righteousness and purity forever. No, God does not leave us with the bad news. Far from it. For daily his forgiveness is new. Daily his presence, mercy, blessing, and grace abide with us. In righteousness and purity forever. In January of the year 2000, the people of Charlotte, North Carolina, wanted to honor one of their favorite sons, the Reverend Billy Graham. And after repeated invitations to him to come to a luncheon where he would be honored, he finally gave in to the will of the people, went to the luncheon, and after a lot of people got up and said some very nice things about Billy Graham, he got up and looked to the crowd and said, "Standing before you this day, I'm reminded of Albert Einstein, who once was on a train journey away from Princeton University. And as he was on that train journey, the conductor came through the car, was taking each passenger's ticket and punching it, When he came to Albert Einstein, the conductor noticed that he was fishing through his jacket, through his shirt, through his pants pockets, could not find his ticket. The conductor said, "Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. Everyone here knows who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket." And the conductor continued, and as he got to the end of the car, he turned around, and there was Albert Einstein on his hands and knees opening up his briefcase looking for that ticket. The conductor came back to him and said, "Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. We all know who you are, and I'm sure you purchased a ticket." "Young man," replied Albert Einstein, "I too know who I am. The problem is, I forgot where I'm going." Dr. Graham continued, "I bought the suit that you see me wearing for two occasions, not only for this luncheon, but it is also the suit in which I will be buried. And when I die, and when I'm buried, I don't want you to remember this suit. I want you to remember two things about me. By the grace of God, I know who I am. And by the grace of God, I know where I am going." By the grace of God, we too, through baptism, know who we are. By the grace of God, through holy baptism, we also know where we are going. It's a journey that has already begun to serve Him in righteousness and purity forever. Thanks be to God, He has not left us with the bad news. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in this one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen.